and happy opening day here at 101 ESPN. It is April 2nd. It is 2:03, and we are supposed to be about an hour and 12 minutes away from the first pitch between the Cardinals and the Baltimore Orioles. Sadly, because of the coronavirus and the cancellation of all sports and all things, pretty much, we are going to have opening day here on April 2nd, 2020. Hopefully, we'll have it later on. BT is here. Ranj is here. I'm Randy. And joining us to lead off the show is the voice of the Cardinals on Fox Sports Midwest and our great teammate and great friend here at 101 ESPN, the one and only Danny Mac. Dan McLaughlin, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. I think, like everybody else, missing baseball. I hear the organ playing and... Man, that makes you feel like you're at Busch Stadium a little bit, doesn't it?
Dude, I, as soon as I heard that, we all know what today is, but coming into it, I've been thinking about it, but then I heard the organ, I got the goosebumps, and I got a little excited and got a little sad. So it's good to get a chance to at least catch up with you, a familiar voice on opening day, Dan. I drove by the ballpark today on my way into work. There were no tents up. There was nobody tailgating. There's nobody outside. Just a very odd opening day that I hope that we never have again.
I agree. I was saying on the shows earlier, this is the third appearance I've made on the station for opening day. And
MVP.
Not really. I like, by the way, that Ranj got booed. I thought that was a good part. You must have been really, really bad for many, many years in your hometown. But whatever.
It's the only way to get that kind of reaction from the best fans in baseball.
Well, you don't have sports without a good villain. So look at it that way.
I'm doing my best.
I've been thinking today, and I said this before, since this has hit, it hasn't hit me like it has today. Opening day that we would have had in Cincinnati, yeah, I thought about it. Over the weekend, I didn't really think about it. I'm more glued to my television on watching what's happening with our world, or reading, or catching up on various things around my house and being with my kids. But today is, I got to be honest, it's bittersweet. This one has hit me. Today it's really kind of been a day that's been melancholy for me just because I miss it so much, and it's something that we all love so much and a fabric of our community, and it's been taken away, and that's not a lot of fun.
I know it's very difficult to escape what is happening now and what our reality is at the moment, but I still find myself in moments occasionally where I think everything is normal or I don't realize everything is messed up, and I will catch myself going, opening day is coming up. Oh, wait, crap. No, it's not. Never mind. Does that happen to you where it's like maybe you've allowed yourself to slip into the mode of you think you have to get ready for baseball, but then you quickly realize that you don't?
Yeah, it has, Ranj. Normally, a lot of the time that I spend in a season is getting ready for a game and the preparation. I love having notes on the various players, whether it's a conversation I had with them or with somebody, or I keep a little notebook that I write down a catchword that'll make me think of going back to look something up. And I haven't done any of that because I don't know what the season's going to look like. If I had an end date, I could say, okay, I'll start really digging in on that starter and their staff and some history and where we're going to be. And I haven't had to do any of it. There's just no reason to at this point. And that part of it I really miss. I miss the people. I talked to Marty Brenneman last night. I talked to Tim McCarver last night. I talked to Chris Welsh, who is the longtime broadcaster in Cincinnati last night. Talked to Chip Carey almost every day. Talked to Brian Anderson. I miss those guys. You know, they're guys that I've been seeing for 20-plus years when I go to the ballpark, and I think Brad can attest to this. I'm friends with those guys, and they come in the booth and give me a bunch of trouble, or I go in their booth and give them trouble. I miss that. I really do. I miss it about as much as I miss watching the games, just the people around the ballpark, too, and my friends down at Busch Stadium that, you know, we can't see. And I'll tell you the thing I was looking forward to the most on this particular opening day. I think there would have been a great shot that Bob Gibson would have been there, and it wouldn't have mattered what the score was going to be on the how this game transpired. It wasn't for sure as to whether or not he was going to show up, but there are inclinations that he was, and that would have been a remarkable moment. And hopefully we'll have that moment before this season is all through.
Hey, Dan, there's so much about opening day in St. Louis to love. Driving downtown and seeing the smoke wafting through the sky because people are tailgating, seeing all the people wearing their red and making their way into the ballpark. Obviously, the introductions of the players, whether it be Ford convertibles or pickup trucks, and the introduction of the red jackets, the Hall of Famers, and then the introduction of the team and the Clydesdales. And then you get to the game. And the game, many times, is almost anticlimactic because of everything that happens traditionally here on opening day. Is there any one part of Cardinal opening day that stands out for you?
Seeing the red jackets and the Cardinal Hall of Famers are great, but the Hall of Famers, the Major League Baseball Hall of Famers, to me symbolize what we have here in this town and how special the organization is, whether the team is going to be good that year or bad. And I don't know if you guys agree with that. I love seeing all the red jackets out there. But when you see Ozzie and Bob and Lou and Bruce and the list goes on, Whitey, these guys coming back, Tony, just so many memories kind of flood back to your time going to a game and watching these guys, and they are your icons and your heroes and those that you look up to. Ozzie, I've said it many, many times, is my favorite player growing up, and sometimes when you meet your favorite player or that person, they don't live up to the billing, and he's not only lived up to it for me personally, but he surpassed it. He's been that awesome to me. And so when I see him, it puts a smile on my face. I told the story earlier. One of my favorite memories when I was talking to the other guys was opening day and Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, walking out after he had his medical issues with his leg and got rid of the walker and walked out to his spot on opening day and looking at Tim McCarver, who was my partner that day, and tears rolling down his cheeks. Those are things I'll never, ever forget. I'm sure you guys and anybody listening know and probably have experienced family members that leave town, whether they go to college or they get a job out of town, and it's families that reunite and they put this date on their calendar and say, no matter what, I'll be home, we'll go to the game, we'll go see it together. And you're right, it is anticlimactic, the actual game itself, but that's the kind of stuff that I miss. So the thing I miss, though, the most, Randy, is just seeing those Hall of Famers.
I think that your perspective on this, Dan, is so interesting and so cool, because you grew up loving the Cardinals and being around as a kid, and now you get to be the voice track of history, you know, throughout with these guys. As a kid, did you have did you get the opportunity to go to opening days as a kid?
I went to, I think, one, maybe two, and I saw Ozzie do a backflip.
Yes.
And that was the best. I mean, seeing him do that was like, man, okay, spring is here, or summer's coming, school's almost out, my Cardinals are back, there's my guy out there doing his thing. It's the best. And I'm getting goosebumps right now. And Randy, you know this too. The crescendo of the crowd, knowing that no one was out on the field yet, the umpires may have rolled the ball out, and we're all waiting for Ozzie to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be the first guy coming out, and you'd see that backflip, and it was like, oh, my goodness, this is as good as it gets. And so that's what I remember about opening day growing up here in town.
It made me want to learn to do a backflip, and
yes.
I told my parents, like, can we have somebody teach me? And they said,
right.
No. It didn't happen.
Yeah. I did somersaults. When we would do wiffle ball, in the backyard, I used to do the somersaults. I couldn't do
same.
A backflip.
My God, it's so hard.
I did the somersault.
And on that hard surface, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least in the backyard, I had natural grass to do a somersault. But, yeah, Ozzie's doing it on the AstroTurf, and then he would make some kind of remarkable play, and it was just incredible. It was the best memories ever.
I could do a front roll.
That's a good one. I learned that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of did a front roll, really, when I think about it. Wasn't really flexible.
You know what, though? But it's the thought that counts. You don't have to nail every part of it. Just like anything else, you're going to try to emulate a play that Ozzie did on the field. You're not going to nail that one either. It's the thought that counts.
Well, when we played wiffle ball in the backyard, which was every day, and I've said this before, I used to wear a uniform, the old wool uniform that I had. I'd wear it every single day. Pants, belt, stirrups, hat, the whole nine yards, button-up jersey. And we'd play wiffle ball from sun up to sundown. And I would imitate every guy in the lineup. I mean, it would be Ozzie and Terry Pendleton, Tommy Herr, Willie McGee, Jack Clark. You name it, I had them down. So they were my guys, man, growing up. I loved watching those teams play.
Well, Dan, we miss opening day, and we will have another opening day at some point. You got something else, Ronge? No?
Oh, yeah, we got all kinds of things. I mean, we don't have to let Dan go just yet. Okay.
No.
Yeah, guys, Dan, are you tired of us already?
Yeah, Dan.
I got a pretty busy schedule.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Have you done any Zoom meetings yet? Zoom is the thing right now. I did my first one today, and I'm intrigued by it.
I'm going to do my first one coming up in about a half hour. I guess I got to download the app. Is that correct?
You need the app. Yep.
So we are going to do with the Cardinals kind of an inner office Zoom, just to kind of talk about opening day with the crew.
That's cool.
what's going on and what are your favorite memories? There'll be some other former players on it, and I'll kind of moderate it and just talk about what's going on with opening day. I know the Cardinals are doing kind of a neat thing with what they have going on to try to keep people engaged with not only what's happening in our world, but also some baseball stuff too, but I stay at home campaign. And so I've gotten to do a little bit of that. And, you know, I really am a big believer that I use the word that this is a postponement and it's not a cancellation, which is what all sports are doing. And that, and this time is what we have to be thinking about. As tough as this is on so many people, we still have to hold out hope, right?
Yep.
And hope is what we have. And that's the way I'm looking at it. At some point, man, I hope. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the schedule looks like. I don't care if the Cardinals have to face the best teams in baseball or the worst teams in baseball. I don't care. And I don't think anybody else would either. They just want to see baseball. When it does come back, as much as we as a country and right now as a world are being kicked, baseball is always there. The word that Tim McCarver used, I don't even know if it's a word, but he said last night, he said, it's the everydayness of baseball. And I said, that's exactly right. It's the routine of knowing that it's there. And when we have it, we'll have it every night, and we'll probably have it twice a day. And that'll be a great, great time in our country to see it come back.
Dan, I brought up the Zoom thing. I did one today with, a friend of mine, Brett Gilliland. You know Brett. With Izzy, Brian Jordan, Simo, and Kyle McClellan. It was all reminiscing. It was telling stories. It was talking about opening day. It was great memories. A lot of stuff that we're talking about today. But one that struck me was, and it wasn't a memory. It was more of a future. It was a hope. It was going to be today. Izzy was asked what his best memory, opening day memory, has been, and he said it was hoping it was going to be today.
Opening day today.
I feel for that guy. And we know it's going to happen, and he said, look, there's more stuff going on in the world than me, but I want to see Izzy shaking hands.
Yeah, he had told me multiple times prior to being elected to the Cardinals Hall of Fame and then after being elected to the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and actually even mentioned it in a speech, I believe, but he had said, you know, he was on the docket, if you will, for Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. He said, I didn't get one vote. The Hall of Fame actually sent me a nice, I don't know if it was a plaque or something framed with him and all the other guys that were at least good enough to be mentioned as a potential vote getter. And he said, that would have been great. He said, don't get me wrong. Going to the Hall of Fame would have been a dream come true. He said, but man, putting on the red jacket and being announced on the opening day would have been my ultimate goal, my greatest dream come true. And unfortunately, that's taken away from him. But as you mentioned, he's a young man. He's going to have plenty of those coming up. We all will. But to your point, I miss that. And people have asked me also, like, my favorite opening day memories and what I love the most, like Randy did. And it's certainly seeing the red jackets in the Hall of Famers. But I love it when a new big-name player is brought to their first opening day, or a rookie in their first opening day in St. Louis, because they hear about it. You know about this, Brad. You hear about it because you're asked about it during spring training by the media. You know, what do you think about opening day? And all the players say, well, I hear about it. Or some will say, I was a visiting player and I saw it. It was pretty cool. And then they experience it, and they'll tell you it's just like pure adulation for them, the season, the Cardinals, the city coming together, and they'll tell you this is everything I heard what it was supposed to be like and even more so. And that's what makes this such a sad day, but yet hopefully we have that day coming forward.
Yeah, I know it's difficult to say for sure because we didn't get all of spring training. We were robbed of about half of the Grapefruit League games. So from the information you did have, from what you did see, what did you think this lineup was going to look like?
That's a great question. I would have thought that Colton Wong would have been at the top. I think Goldschmidt would have batted third. I think you would have had DeJong batting fourth. And then after that, it could have been a mixed bag. A lot of it would have been dependent on how, you know, creative Mike Schilt would get with Tommy Edman and where he's going to play. But I did think that those three things were kind of starting to happen with the aforementioned players, because I looked at the lineup and, you know, it was just going to be still a lot of question marks at the top and who hits behind Goldschmidt to give him some type of protection. And then you had to find somebody to get in front of him, because that's another way to provide protection in which you have to pitch to him. I think it would have gone that way, and I'm just not sure what you would have done, like, with number two. Could have been a rotation, and five and beyond, I think, would have been kind of a mixed bag, too. I was and will be fascinated to see when we come back what they do with you know, the young man that made such an impression, Dylan Carlson. If you have a short season, does he get called up? You know, I think that's something you look at. I find the whole thing fascinating. I do know this. I'm not sure they would have scored a ton of runs, but I do know that they can flat out pitch. And that's something to keep in mind as they come back, is that there would have been a lot of guys that would have started out at Memphis that would have been with a bullpen of a major league team, or in the middle, not the tail end, but the middle of a rotation on some lesser major league team. So they've got a lot of pitching, and I think they would have won in that aspect of things. And I also think they were pretty good defensively, too.
And Dan, John Mozeliak said this morning that Michaelis is playing long toss and is scheduled for a light bullpen probably tomorrow, and Andrew Miller at the end of spring training was trending well and trending towards being able to pitch on opening day too. So from a health standpoint, obviously you hate to have this happen, but the Cardinals were closing in on reasonable health had they had just a regular spring training at opening day.
Yeah, for sure. And that's been, if there's a benefit through all of it, and I guess you look for any silver linings, that's it, is that these players would have come back and will come back, it looks like, healthy. And, you know, they've got a loaded set of arms in what will be, I think, in a roster then that is expanded. Now, how you do a roster going forward, I don't know. But you have to protect the pitchers. And I think as you go further along with the cancellation of games, depending if and when we come back, you shorten up spring training. I've read various accounts from position players saying, I need 15 or 20 at-bats and of live pitching, and I'm ready to go. And there's going to be a sense of urgency that if you're getting players together, let's just start playing and worry about the pitching as best we can. There will be some type of short spring training. You're going to have to do that. But, you know, you may not see these guys go very deep in games early on, and that's where the Cardinals would benefit, because they'd have arms that are good and ready to go to cover innings. So I've said this, and I said it with you guys. I think when they come back, it's a blank canvas. Do some different things with the sport, and it's an outlier for 1 year, and you might like some of the things you see, and you might not like some of the others. And it's a trial run, but, man, what a way to do it. You could do it in live action in Major League Baseball, and I don't think many people would complain, because they're going to have a sporting event on their television.
Dan, you could do anything to this game right now, and I'll watch it. I'm in. Totally bought into this point. And one of those things that you're talking about, and you referenced it there, basically, with the depth of pitching that the Cardinals had. I have not been a big fan of the idea of piggybacking starters, but the Cardinals legit have 10 guys that they could put in their rotation if they wanted to. Like, that could be a great way to get through the whole season if they wanted to.
For sure. And, you know, the other thing I think about is basically using the model of hockey and healthy scratches. You know, a starter goes on a Monday and he's a healthy scratch, and add somebody to that rotation spot until his time is up. I think that would be on the table. Maybe, I don't know. I think anything's on the table. And from the one positive in this is that the labor agreement was agreed to, and there was, you know, service time awarded and the $170 million and the various things that go into that. Unfortunately, for amateur players, it's going to be a very complicated draft. But the main thing is that both sides are saying, no matter what, let's get on the field. And, you know, you always talk about let's hope, you know, cooler heads prevail and they get an agreement done. Well, this was hammered out in a couple weeks with the idea of, no matter what, we got to get on the field. And that is very, very important.
If they play a shortened season, and we've asked this question of people in hockey about getting to the Stanley Cup playoffs, if we're fortunate enough to get this back up and running here pretty quickly, whether or not it feels like a lesser achievement to win a championship when the season is shorter. I mean, do you think that's a big deal?
I don't, and I'll tell you why, because history can look back on strike-shortened seasons and still say, well, that team won the championship in that year, and that team won the championship in this year. And history will look back, if and when we come back, and say that was the incredible summer of 2020 in which the world was shut down, and our government decided to step in and shut many of the things that we have down, many of the things that we enjoy, which includes baseball. And I don't think it's a cheapened championship, and I say that with an asterisk by it, but I understand why people would say that. But I just think people would take a harder look and say, the bottom line was, at that point in time in our country, it didn't really matter. We were looking for a sporting event. We were looking for competition. And, you know, by God, this is how it happened. It unfolded this way. There was an unbalance in the schedule where some teams had much tougher schedules than others, and a roll of dice got them into the postseason, however they want to do it. However, you know, it could be a tournament format, World Baseball Classic format. Who knows? We don't know at this point, but they got out there and they played, and we awarded a championship, and it was an outlier for that time, but this is why. And maybe it's a good reminder as to what happened in our country so that people never, ever forget.
And, Dan, one way that baseball could easily build a schedule is, you know, you're going to miss games because we're at the Cardinals' home opener already. They were supposed to have already played six. You had 20, including today, a game against Baltimore. You had 20 interleague games. That's a great place to start. If you want to cut down, if you have to cut down to 142, reconfigure your schedule without interleague play in 2020.
I think that would be on the table. I'm sure they've run the various models, Randy, but, you know, my understanding is, at least for the time being, and this is recently when I talked to somebody that would know, they would just pick up the schedule for, I'm just going to throw out just an arbitrary date, July 1st, and whomever you're playing on July 1st, you play that team. And let's say it was a three-game series, they may tack on another game. So say it was the Cubs, just for argument's sake. So first, second, third, and you played a doubleheader on the second. So you got in another game. That's what is being talked about now, and could be hardly, if any, off days and mixing in doubleheaders. And I think the players are going to say, look, if that means we got to play a couple doubleheaders a week or three a week or whatever, I think the players are going to say no problem, because they're going to want to play as many games as they can get. And that's revenue for them and for everybody. So I think that's the way that they would do it. But as we go further down the road, if we have cancellation of games or postponement of games, then I think anything's on the table potentially, and saying, okay, this is all we had time for. We're going to do this type of schedule, this type of tournament, or whatever they're going to do just to get something played. So, again, though, to your point, I'd love the idea. It's just, I think that's the direction they're going.
Danny Mac, always great to have you with us. Thanks so much, and be safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, keep the faith, keep hope, and be safe. Thanks, guys, for everything.
Right. We'll talk to you soon. That's the great Dan McLaughlin with us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Next up, we want to hear from you, moments that make you smile, Cardinal moments that are guaranteed to make you smile. We've got a few for you coming up. Plus, today's mic drop, hashtag opening day. What do you love about opening day, and what's your tradition? What do you miss most about Cardinals opening day? Anything on Hopo openers in St. Louis is up for grabs with your mic drops with the Rhino Shield mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app on 101 ESPN.